Welcome to Bad Play Style, a book club style video game podcast where we talk about a new game that we all played every episode. Hopefully you listeners at home have played the same game we did.
So you can avoid the horror of being mugged by the infinite spoiler.
Yeah, we are going to spoil any game we set out to play, and probably other games too, so be careful and check the fucking show notes so you don't get blindsided by the fact that, I don't know, Paul Rudd is Darth Revan. Welcome back to Bad Play Style. My name is Matt.
I'm Keenan.
And I'm Owen.
It's been a while, even though for you it's only been a whatever amount of time you've decided to have between
episodes.
The amount
of time you chose.
Yeah. But for us, it has been a minute. For various reasons, we did not play Domina.
There were some technical issues. And then there were some lack of support issues, and then there were some frustration and abort issues.
See, I really want to underscore.
Let's underscore that last part. Yeah.
Let's underscore that last one. Yeah.
So
what was it? Because it was an interesting. I was at work because I work longer than Keenan does. I was at work and my phone starts blowing up, and I'm like, I can't look at my phone. Come back to this whole conversation. It's not fucking working!
Yep.
And then Owen's like, well, why don't you try? I don't care! We're playing this now! And then, like,
I'd already spent, like, an hour and a half trying to get this game to work.
Then he suggests this other game, which I don't even remember what that other game was, comes back, it's not working! Owen's like, why don't you try? No! We're doing this now! And that happened again.
I want to point out, too, the game that we finally did end up playing, I personally had to spend more than an hour and a half troubleshooting it to get it to fucking work.
So
I'm real good at picks this time around.
If you did listen to the last episode, we didn't play Domina. We didn't. We had no. I had an intention to.
I still want to. I'm going to mess around with it and try and get it to work, but we're not doing that this week.
So we ended up playing. Keenan, what did we play?
We played Deadbolt.
Deadbolt,
which is a 2D side scroller. Hotline Miami-like, rather than the top-down view. It's got the side view.
Well, I feel like it's a little bit more of a murder puzzle.
Yeah, it's got, like, murder puzzle definitely in it.
You know.
Wherein you play a modern version of Death.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. From where I got
you
to.
You play a Reaper.
Yeah.
They call you such.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's important to make the distinction not the.
Yeah, writer. They don't make it a proper noun. So there's potentially more of you. And the way the game's interface works is kind of cool because you're always interacting with stuff. You get all your missions from a fire.
You're always interacting with stuff.
Yeah, I know. Okay. That was great, right? So you get your missions by sitting down in a chair and talking to your fireplace.
And you like receive visions.
And you receive poems.
The fireplace gives you intel and tells you about the mission based on what other fires have seen.
Okay, so before we get too deep into what Deadbolt is, I think we've given them a nice elevator pitch plus at this point.
Sure.
We need to do the things we need to do. You guys, both of you, since the last time we talked, have been playing.
It's been a lot of pain. You've
been playing the Tear Drinker's latest offering.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell us about
XCOM 2 War of the Chosen.
Tell us how that feels.
Oh, it's really good, actually.
It's somehow more balanced to make me feel cool while also making the pain way deeper. Okay. I felt like playing regular XCOM 2, my guys are dying all over the place, not getting attached to anyone, shit's real bad all the time. Well, now there's just jerks with faces that show up and do specific things all the time.
They've got names and little quips.
And they like there's antagonistic singular characters against you that have been put into the game.
I love them.
I like it because it gives me a target besides Faceless Advent Guy.
Do you know what I was actually thinking when you guys were playing this? this would be an excellent candidate, because I've been, as you know, I've been editing the podcast. Mm-hmm. So I went back, we had a long discussion about Shadow of Mordor's nemesis system.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was actually thinking, because you guys were talking about how putting a face to like a recurring villain in XCOM is like a great emotional motive.
Yeah.
Like it really
and it builds even more stories.
Yeah, it really brings you in. You know, so I think an XCOM style game would be an excellent candidate for a nemesis.
This relates to last episode's The Pain, in which I mentioned mercenaries.
Sure.
Right? Another sort of hunt down the bad dudes sort of game. Yeah.
Surely they won't point blank shoot me with a rocket launcher. Surely that do that.
One of the games that I shouldn't have bought does something similar in the like hunt people down thing.
Are we slipping into Kenan shaming?
Yeah, somehow.
Sure, I mean,
so,
like...
So Ghost Recon Wildlands...
There's time anywhere in life for
shaming. Ghost Recon Wildlands has a system that aims to be that while falling incredibly short.
Okay. While being a disappointing Tom Clancy
isn't
game.
That, yes. Isn't that, like... You know how certain companies do like the year of the like the year of the isn't that Ubisoft's the like 2017 the year of falling short
the year of the disappointing Clance?
Yeah.
Big dreams, deep trenches.
What?
Oh, okay.
Okay. So
I'm burying my face in my hands.
War of the Chosen is really cool. I did my first go after one of the bad guy
missions. I really like those missions. They're really cool.
They're cool because they remind me of the last mission in the first game where you like slog through this base.
The base assaults from XCOM.
Yeah, it reminds me of that.
So like the thing I really found rewarding about those is like you're the chosens that have been like preying upon you. They have these strengths and weaknesses, and you can never count on them showing up, so you can never really plan on being prepared to fight them. But when you go into their base, like you've run into these guys like a zillion times. You know what they do. You know what their weakness is.
But this time you're prepared.
Yeah, so you like kit out a squad.
Oh, you're vulnerable to Reapers? We brought four.
Yeah, exactly.
that's a real action movie moment.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. No, yeah, it's totally.
That's absolutely, it creates a first act, second act, third act. Totally. Just from its game system. Totally. That's amazing.
Dude shows up and slashes your hunter guy down, and he's like, I'm going to take him away. And you're like, hell no. And you stop him, and then you're like, we're in your house now. Right, everyone's putting their gear on, like, and you're like, let's fucking go get this dude. He's been fucking with us for months.
Like that part in Commando when Arnold puts all the shit on.
No, it's that sequence. With six people being like, yo, this guy slashed Steve the other day, I'm gonna fuck him up for it.
And also you got the emotional bond, so like if somebody slashed Steve and you're like butt buddies with Steve.
Yeah, so they added a squad bond system where two squad members will like get buddy powers when they're near each other.
Yeah, those are really good,
too. And they're really cool, and they totally, again, build more of these stories.
Yeah, these action movie
like,
moments.
One of my chosen had, like, a weakness to melee attacks, so I brought, like two, it was like three rangers, and then two of the, one of the new units is, like, a psychic melee dude, so I brought two of those. And a medic.
You just
got a bunch of dudes with swords and then a box of band-aids.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah, and so, like,
machete squad.
No.
Machete squad.
No, wait. It was two rangers, two psychic sword dudes, a medic, and then I brought Worf.
Yo.
Yeah.
Because Michael Dorn's in this game.
Bad news about Worf, bro.
Did you get Worf killed?
Worf got killed taking that bitch out.
You're a bad man.
No, it was...
No, so he gets an ability...
Kenan is a bastard there.
He gets an ability where he can grant his action to any of your squad members, like, once every three turns.
Oh, so you just extra swords.
Yeah. Right, cool. Yeah.
More swords.
Yeah, and so I can figure out which sword needs another action the most.
Which sword needs more swords?
Yeah.
I know neither of you guys watch One Piece, but there's a guy on there who puts a sword in his mouth, and he does three sword style.
Okay.
So, like, that's... Yeah.
It's that.
It's that.
Yeah, so Worf was like having another melee unit, but better.
Yeah. Because he's more versatile. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
Were multiple sword guys equipped with Blade Storm?
Oh, so they all have Blade Storm.
When a dude tries to run away, he gets hit again.
Yeah. Like, dude got, like, chopped.
Just get three people around him and, like,
No, it was totally Scrooby.
That's awesome. Yeah. And also, swords don't run out of ammo.
Yeah, swords don't run out of ammo. It's true.
Remember, kids, swords don't run out of ammo.
So, yeah.
Scruff McGruff the Crime Dog.
Or the Chosen adds in a
Did
bunch.
Did you hear that guy died?
The guy who made Scruff McGruff?
Oh.
He died like a month ago.
I thought you meant literally
Scruff McGruff. No, not literally Scruff McGruff. No, not the animated dog. Although I did, somebody pointed out to me.
I mean, these budget cuts.
Somebody pointed out to me the other day that because we are all nearing the precipice of middle age, right? We're all nearing 30 or above 30, right? We're right on the cusp there. Shut up.
I don't like the way you said
precipice. We're older than every dog. like we have to be.
Like we have to be.
Like, all dogs that exist are younger than us.
You know, so, not only did I outlive the Seattle curse, but I have outlasted the dogs.
Yeah, all dogs.
I think so long as we remember Scruff McGruff's rhyme, he lives forever.
Right, but he's not a dog. He's like a furry
Scruff
thing.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago,
we're
Illinois.
We're getting off topic.
6652.
God damn it.
I'll take a bite out of crime.
Are you allowed to say that on, like, a podcast?
It's done.
I don't know.
Okay.
What are they going to do? Come after us for spreading their public service message?
Yes. So,
I'm just trying to take a bite out of crime.
Are we got any more things to say?
I don't know. XCOM 2 is really fucking
XCOM
good.
XCOM 2 War of the Chosen.
Yeah.
Great addition.
Okay. Well, so what's your... What's the one thing that you... Like, the favorite thing? Do you have, like, a favorite thing moment?
Is this how we're putting the bow on it?
Because, well, no, I just don't want you to walk in. XCOM 2 is really good. Great. Yeah. You know, like, generic ass fucking words. Like,
Honestly, the Chosen are my favorite part. I think the new soldier types are very cool, but, like, it's...
Having a named enemy.
A named enemy, and, like, it gives you, like, a real sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I feel like a lot of time in XCOM, it feels like you're always just treading water, keeping your lips just above the water.
Yeah.
They made, like, once I'd killed the first Chosen I went after, they made that have a weight not just to me, right? There's a cinematic where, like, the like, big bad dude admonishes the other two.
Yeah.
And they're like, yo... You better fix this or you're fucking done. And I'm like, yeah. Right, because you start that game completely backfoot, resistance, Wolverine against the aliens. And, like, that's a moment where I felt like I actually took a bite out of them that they weren't
You took a bite out of crime?
I took a bite out of crime that they weren't going to regenerate back.
My favorite is that every month when you get, like, your, like, little feedback from Optimus Prime, one of the things that'll happen is, they'll say, like, Chosen number one is doing this month. And it's like, oh, he's getting more powerful. And Chosen number two is doing this month. But if you've killed all of them, it still pops it up every month. It's like, let's see what's behind Chosen number one.
He's dead.
He's dead.
He's dead, y'all.
Chosen number two, still dead.
Chosen number three, you guessed it.
Yeah.
Dead.
I'm fucking dead.
Yeah. Which is like, you know, you feel good about that.
Yeah.
Which XCOM is about not feeling good. So that there are things that have been added to it to make you feel good.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Alright, well, I think that's enough XCOM.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what Keenan and I have been playing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For the segment that we basically just steamrolled over.
Well, I invited you.
I played other things.
Two segments at once, because we were talking about Rage, and apparently you had Michael Dorn executed.
No.
That
lady's so good.
He made the critical mistake of grappling hooking an Explodomancer, also known as a flamethrower guy.
Yeah.
Who, they have a random chance when you kill them to explode.
So who told him to do that?
Me.
Okay.
But,
No, so I'm sorry, Commander.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. He pulls a guy in, doesn't kill him, and then someone else shoots him, dude explodes, dude's not in cover now, and doesn't have an action.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, he died.
Well, what you mean is you didn't bring Michael Dorn's best friend on the mission to grant him an action.
You're correct.
When he got caught out in the open.
You're correct.
Yeah.
He didn't have a best friend yet. I went in pretty early after this one because they harassed me a lot. I was done.
That's all right. Your girlfriend died in my game.
Yeah. They don't fucking love XCOM.
Oh, man.
Okay. What else have you played, Owen?
I don't know. That's about it. Like,
as far as like things you want to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Played a lot of XCOM. Oh, I played the new Life is Strange.
Oh, yeah.
My girlfriend and I played through that.
Yeah, 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 yeah. What do you think about this?
I think that's a game where it doesn't need a prequel, and I think my impression going in was that, like, having a prequel will cheapen the story, and then the reviews came back for it, and it's actually surprisingly positive, and I played it, and I actually kind of like it.
Good.
But
it subverted those expectations.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's like a 3-episode thing, and so we only get to play 1 episode. So, like my girlfriend and I played it, and like we got to the end of the episode, and she's like, "All right, click on the next button." I'm like, "No, you don't get it.
Can't
it comes out
yet.
In November." And she's like, "What?"
Right, because you played all of them together before, right?
Yeah,
that's funny.
But yeah,
that's hella fun.
Okay, so
What have you been playing, Matt?
So I played a bunch of party golf.
Oh yeah, party golf.
I played a bunch of party golf with children.
Oh, did you know?
Yeah, that was fun. Because they're really bad at it.
Make them real mad.
But it's like a simple enough game.
They don't feel like I'm cheating them when I win consistently, which is like cool for me.
Matt, what is party golf?
So party golf is this dope game that
dope game.
So it's like regular golf, right? Where you have the ball and you try to get it into the hole. Mm-hmm. It's a 2D plane,
scorched earth style.
Mm-hmm. You push the analog stick in the direction you want to go. How hard you push it is how far you go. Okay. You press the button, you do stuff. Or it goes when you press the button.
The ball launches.
Yeah, ball launches. But you don't take turns. You just go as simultaneous. Fast as possible. Yeah, simultaneous. If you bump into someone else's ball, you bounce all crazy. And
you can only fire if you're on the ground.
Yeah, it's like kind of slow.
Yes, if you're going slow. But there's like over 300 customization options, and there's a bunch of like custom game modes that they have, so you can get really technical with it. You can change the way scoring works, so it's not always who gets to the hole fastest. It's sometimes who gets to the hole in the shortest amount of distance. In the least number of bounces. Or I remember whatever. The
party we had. We played one that was first to the hole over the longest distance.
Oh wow!
Which made scoring really hard to figure out until the game brought it up.
Yeah. So that's like a real crapshoot.
It was kind of weird. You want to like throw yourself all over the place and then still get there first, which is a gamble to it.
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
So anyway, I played that with kids. We just played the basic mode. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of easing them into it. Maybe you get some more controllers.
Kids, you want to make it weird.
I also played that with my brother-in-law briefly at a gathering at my parents' house. So it was cool. And then I've been what I can only describe as. So do you remember long ago in the distant past when you installed Oblivion for no perceivable reason and just sort of faffed around in
it? You mean Skyrim?
Was it Skyrim?
Yeah, it was Skyrim.
It was Skyrim.
But okay. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And it's well documented that we feel that they're the same game in this group, so.
No, Oblivion is better than Skyrim.
Fair, okay. All right.
In that everyone's face looks like it's made out of butter.
I actually think that's pretty charming.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It works.
I reinstalled Fallout 4.
Oh, Oblivion's the butter
dish. I reinstalled Fallout 4 and like went through the whole modding process, which takes a couple hours. Mm-hmm. And then ostensibly it was to play all the DLC that I had never played.
Okay.
But I haven't like made
But you a... Bethesda pathed yourself
out. I like haven't made a real like push for that content at all. I've just been sort of like dicking around.
Sure. Just in the wasteland with a gun shooting people.
No, I don't actually have a gun. I have a knife. I have a knife. I took the perk Blitz, where your VATS distance with melee is like super far.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Okay. And then, and it's cool because I'm completely naked except for I'm wearing one of
the. This character changed a lot since I saw it.
I'm completely naked except for I'm wearing welding goggles, a like military beret. And then an umpire's, like, front guard.
Okay.
So, like, I can see my own butt, but, like, my junk is covered by the umpire's front guard. And I'm, like, crouching around everywhere because I'm sneaking. So I'm just, like...
You're like a campfire story.
No, like, I'm like a heavy from a Steven Seagal movie. Right?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Are you, to bring back around the commando reference, are you the guy in the chainmail commando?
Yeah, I'm absolutely the dude in the chainmail. Except for my thing is that I roll around naked in the wasteland, knifing dudes.
He would do that.
Yeah. and knifing people from, like, extreme distances.
Jump out of the bushes.
Yeah, like, you
know. That's why I'm saying you're a campfire story.
Spring
out of nowhere and murder.
Like, the raiders are like, did you hear about this dude? He just wears a scarf, and he's, like, tits out all the time. And he wears, like, an umpire's uniform, kind of. And he's just got this knife. And he just sticks it in people.
He's like Jason Voorhees of the Fallout
He
world.
Comes out of nowhere and just opens your throat up. Yeah. Like,
So that's been fun.
Yeah.
Been doing right. that.
As a result, I walk into the living room like, you fucker, you're playing this. No, I gotta go play it,
too. There's a bigger story to this. So they were playing... Keenan and his girlfriend are on the other side of the apartment in their room. They're playing Rainbow Six Siege. Someone is racist at them enough that Bree starts crying. and comes out onto the front row
yeah.
and commiserates with me.
I yelled at them.
I hear Keenan yelling in the back room, and he TKs them twice to get kicked out of the match.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about that.
And then he comes...
My rage is brought to you by Rainbow Six Siege.
Okay, he comes back out into the front room.
By Tom Clancy's your disappointment?
He comes back out in the front room, and, you know, I briefly am like, you tell those guys? And he's like, yeah, I fucking shot him in the head. I'm like, okay. And he watches what I'm doing, and he's like, damn it, Matt, I'm going to reinstall Fallout 4. And I'm like, that's on you, man. Yeah. And then he just, like, all of a sudden, he goes, I bet there's some nice texture mods for this. And just leaves the room. Doesn't even finish the sentence.
No,
just leaves, runs out of the room.
To see what I can get. It was done.
It was the textures, which is, like, that's a weird thing.
So, like, I have a really nice video card, and I haven't really stretched it out. And I was like, Fallout 4 looks kind of muddy. What can I do?
Your boy's been playing some Fallout 4.
We've been faffing around some Fallout 4. Not really any sort of specific thing we're trying to do.
No.
Just fucking around.
Just
man.
Living in it. Just it's like when you marinate in the bathtub.
Or like terroir.
Terroir.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember we read that book.
What book?
About terroir. Do you not know what that word means?
I don't.
What book are we talking about?
I don't remember. It was for book club. I don't remember.
Is that Seven Eves?
Maybe.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah, terroir is like the qualities of the earth that go into the wine, basically.
Yeah, that wasn't Seven Eves.
Yeah. Because like, he went off on like a fucking...
That sounds
then
like
it was
candy.
Definitely Neal Stephenson.
Yeah.
Then it was, if he went off on a thing talking about a thing.
So, is that what you played, Matt? Are you done with them? Talking about Fallout?
Yeah.
So, okay. So tell us about your punching of an internet Nazi.
So, yeah, so... Rainbow Six Siege, I've always had an interesting relationship with the community. So I got back into the game because it's fun and I like it. And, you know, it does things that other games don't. I like blowing the holes in walls and shooting people. It's pretty great.
It does what Nintendo don't.
Yeah, it does. Blast processing.
Fucking
So, like, I'm playing, I'm enjoying it. And, you know, Bree jumps in and we're playing, we're enjoying it. And the thing about the community, apparently only on PC, watching some videos about people talking about the differences. Apparently, only on PC do you have a bunch of 12-year-old Nazis running around yelling all kinds of heinous shit all over the game. And I haven't run into it nearly as bad in League of Legends, well known for its toxic community, or many other games. So it's sort of weird. Like, what is it about this game that draws Nazis to it? I don't know. But they pretty much checked off all the boxes in a particular game. Like, racism, anti-Semitism specifically... there was some homophobia drawn in, some misogyny, all from the same person. And I'm like, whoa, dude, not cool. And, you know, the words beta and cuck are thrown around, which, you know, are my favorite. I love that.
Yeah.
So
what the fuck happened? Tell
anyway,
us.
Anyway, my girlfriend gets frustrated enough with them that she leaves. Like, leaves the game, leaves the room.
So they're not even specifically, like, targeting. She just can't marry
I mean, there was a lot of, oh my god, you're a girl, when she jumped into voice chat.
Okay.
And then us being like, hey, don't be assholes. Right? Not cool. And then, you know, he starts going in on that. And I'm like, you do realize that there are people behind those jokes, quote unquote. He's like, ooh, you just beta. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And then he starts saying shit just to piss us off. Mm-hmm. At which point, she leaves. I end up walking right up to him, saying, are you going to stop? He doesn't. So I team kill him once, and he's like, oh, yeah, it's funny. And, like, we're winning the game and everything, and I'm just done with them, right? So I end up jumping back in. He runs over to me like he's going to kill me, so I kill him. And then I get kicked out of the game, because the game has a way of dealing with that.
Sure.
So yeah, I was already mad, because the game, a couple games before that... We've leaned into the rage moment at this point, but I literally had a dude trying to guide me, right? He's dead, he's on the cameras, etc., like you do in that game. Mm-hmm. One of the after-death mechanics is that you can still be on the cameras in the environment to help your team, though.
Okay.
His
built-in ghosting,
yeah,
basically?
Yeah, like, as long as you're communicating, it's allowed. Like,
but, like, they can shoot the cameras. If
right,
they
can shoot out the cameras. Okay. Like, it's an implied game mechanic. So, he's telling me, oh, you're gonna go through that door, and he's to your right. I turn right. Keep going, dude shoots me in the back. And I'm like, that wasn't right. And he's like, it was right! And I'm like, okay, I'm watching the replay right now, and he's left the entire time. He was fucking right! And I'm like, okay, And oh no, and he goes, put your hands on it. It's the one that makes an L. It's left. And I'm like, okay, if you're going to be a smartass about it, at least get it right. Yeah. Right? And I like yelled this at him. And I was told to calm down. And I was like, no, this guy's like factually wrong and then being an asshole at me about it. Like, no, not.
I've never been a fan of that make an L thing. Someone who works with kids.
Yeah.
If you tell the kids to put your hands out and see which one makes an L, if you ask a 3-year-old, they both make an L.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It, it's like, not great.
That's a terrible tool.
And then, like, yelling that at me demeaningly when you were patently wrong.
All right.
That's a quick way to piss me off.
All right.
So, yeah. That's how I got ragey.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's your dose of internet rage, mm-hmm. friends.
Yeah, that meta's shitty. Those people suck.
Yeah.
I also played PUBG where I can't hear anyone and I just murdered them
all. Oh, yeah. That's a good. Yeah.
Good way to blow off that game.
So I just wanted to briefly, because you mentioned PUBG, I read a thing today about this dude who is doing what's called auto running, where he jams F and as soon as he's in the plane, and he hits the auto run key and only is allowed to touch his keyboard if he's trying to go around an object, and he always has to run directly towards the center of the circle,
okay.
or the map if there's no circle.
Okay.
Okay.
So he got number 2 twice.
Yeah.
In like the, I'm assuming, 3 or 4 days he did research for this article.
Right.
It is...
I read that article. I know what you're talking about.
He gets
about.
To the center of a circle. Does he get to stop moving?
Yeah, he gets to go prone. And if he's in like the last 20, he can go prone whenever he wants.
And he made this like an art project. Like he documented it. Yeah. And, like,
so there's a thing. It's like pretty strict, but he made it to 2 like a couple times. He made it to 2 in a duo as well.
Okay.
And I'm just
was
like,
his partner doing this too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a really important.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty important. Sorry, I should have mentioned that they were both doing this, but it's
examining his partner's driving a Jeep, running distraction.
I'm not quite sure how to feel about it because, like, on the one hand, I do actually kind of want to play PUBG, but like I haven't wanted to play it enough to purchase it in deference to the other games I've been purchasing and right. putting my time in.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and there's already a discussion going on around this game about AFKers getting top 10
yeah.
without doing anything, right?
Yeah. So it's like, so what is it? What, like, I want to hear from listeners. What does it say about this game that everyone's playing and putting their, like, fucking effort into that this person who is essentially performing performance art, right, within the game
mm-hmm.
that should get you killed? What does it say that they're doing better than 98 people who are trying their hardest?
It's an interesting idea. I will say, like, even when I'm playing the game seriously with people I would consider taking it seriously, I let go of that game way easier than.
I get that.
We're not talking about that.
That's a different discussion.
I mean, it's going to get to where
it's
the same reason that I got a chicken dinner the first night I played the game mm-hmm. is that like there's enough dice that are rolled in like just all the configuration sure. of your match of like where the guns spawn, where you land, and where the circles go that like fucking chimpanzees banging on a PUBG PC yeah. can produce almost a chicken dinner.
Yeah, yeah. So it is exhausting and also thought-provoking and also it makes me kind of want to play the game less. and I get that, like for a lot of people, playing the game is not necessarily about winning, right? I get that. Mm-hmm. But it gives me a lot of feelings that this thing that people are putting a lot of effort into, you can achieve, you can. I'm not saying you will, I'm saying you can. Achieve the same results by doing what is the minimum, right? And I get that it's like football. You're creating this machine that creates highly irregular results,
mm-hmm.
right? And I don't know that it gives me pause. It gives me pause. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
All right.
Are we ready to move on to Deadbolt?
Sure. Sure.
Okay. Let's do that. What worked?
The game has some mechanics other games don't have that I liked. I really liked.
First, why did you pick this game? I guess is something I want to ask.
I thought it would be quick.
You thought it would be quick.
I thought it would be quick.
For the record, none of us finished it.
Yeah. Nobody finished it. And it seemed like... I do like that the levels are digestible quickly when you're doing it right. When you're not, it's a different story, right? Because you have to start over as soon as you lose and blah, blah, blah.
See, that was a thing that Owen mentioned to me earlier that he had feelings about.
Okay, yeah, I'm fucking done with that in games. Okay, all right. Of the, like, oh, you died, go back to the start of the whole fucking
right, redo
level.
The whole thing.
And,
right,
like,
when
even,
it's hard.
Even though it's, like, only, like, a couple minutes from start to finish if you beat a level, it's still just, like, if it's a big level, it's mentally exhausting.
Yeah.
Like, I, that, my process in that game is every time I would get really fed up with it, I'd take a break to play Factorio. And I noticed those breaks to play Factorio to chill me out were getting longer and longer.
Okay.
And I just didn't come back from one of those breaks.
No, that's fair. I mean, I think we all did that with this game. Yeah. Like the thing about that game that I was surprised about is that the difficulty ratchets up really quickly.
Yeah. Well, so for me, it was, I guess we're just going into negative stuff, but that's fine. I got to, I think, it was fine. I was totally fine. Until we got to vampires. Mm-hmm. Right, because the game has this whole sequence where you're just fighting zombies, and then right at the
zombies
end, there's some vampires. I should say the zombies are stand-ins for urban youth.
Yeah, they're a low-level gang.
Yeah.
The enemies get trickled in by the end of a chapter.
Yeah, you
get the new ones.
But and so apparently after vampires are skeletons, and it sounds like they're pretty immune to bullets, which is exacerbates the problem I'm about to describe. Where this game I would describe largely as a murder puzzle. You need to figure out. Oftentimes the default objective of any of level isn't like there's some levels where it's like go burn the drugs or go get the money or whatever, and you have to figure out how to do that, right? You don't necessarily, like, there was the level where I had to kill the main zombie guy. I think I killed, like, three people on that level, and I just fucking left.
Yeah.
Right? There's situations where that a lot, but, like, most of the time, the default objective is just murder everybody on the level.
Clean that shit out.
And the game knows how many guns I showed up with, and it knows how many guns are on the level. Mm-hmm. Right? And so it becomes a thing where it's not figuring out what the best way or most fun way to tackle each individual room. It's how many bullets, how many minimum bullets can I spend on each individual encounter?
Becomes way too economical.
Yeah, and it's more about counting bullets, which I super was not into, especially with how inaccurate so many of the weapons in this game is.
Yeah.
And how close you have to get and how you are encouraged by how fucking fast the AI is at pulling out its gun, aiming directly at your head, and shooting at you. How fast they are with that shit, you can't afford in certain moments, especially oh shit moments. Like, if you haven't planned mentally for what's happening, you're spending like 3, 4, 5 times as many bullets as you should be in a given situation, which screws you in a way that's not fun.
Right, long term. You find yourself on the third floor of a 4-story building with no ammo.
Yeah, with no ammo.
And there's 6 dudes with guns on the fourth
floor. Yeah, and there's nothing you can do. And a lot of the enemies that are using guns aren't dropping guns.
Right. Yeah, like almost nobody does. Like, the game pretty much deliberately picks, like, these are the two enemies on the level that are going to drop a half-loaded submachine gun.
Right.
Yeah. Did either of you guys use melee weapons at all?
Yeah.
I briefly experimented with the scythe.
Okay.
And it wasn't good.
Yeah, I didn't fuck with any of them past the tutorial.
I mean,
I don't want to be
throwing knives was a very economical thing to do. Mm-hmm. Although, again, when you throw the knife and it enters a person, that knife is gone.
It's gone.
Which I disagree If you're asking me, to be super economical with my shit, and then you're giving me thrown weapons, I want that knife back.
Right.
You know? Like,
right. Sometimes the hammer just explodes after you hit someone, and then you don't have a hammer anymore.
It bothered me.
I use melee weapons, but only through the zombies. I couldn't use them against vampires, because the vampires, like, literally jump on you.
Yeah, everything's too quick after the zombies.
So that's where, like, the early gameplay is, like,
it was
challenging.
It was super solid. The zombie levels, I was thoroughly enjoying myself. Until the exact moment there was nothing but vampires
on
the level.
Right, so the zombies are slow moving, and they don't shoot great, but they shoot enough to be a threat that you need to kind of, like, surprise, bitch!
Yeah,
all over
them
every
time. You need to kick in the door and know exactly
and, like,
where you're pointing your gun.
Little did we know that that's what the game is expecting later on at higher and higher degrees of difficulty, because with the
With the vampires, headshots are way more encouraged because they can absorb a few bullets. With the skeletons, you have to headshot them, or else they just absorb all the bullets. So, like, even though they give you more accurate guns, it's still really fucking hard. Yeah. In a way that, like, I hit a certain point where I just couldn't. I tried the level probably 50 times and just couldn't.
I wouldn't have stuck around that long.
I mean, I spread that out over like 2 weeks because we've had so long.
Yeah.
So like, it was like, hey, I should take a whack at that again 2 days later.
Yeah.
Right. But the things I do like about the game in the early stages of it are really fun. The character has this ability to like hop into a vent as a puff of
smoke.
That's
super fun. I really enjoy that.
And it's sort of
especially when someone's sitting on a toilet. And you get to like telefrag them.
Yeah. Off the toilet.
Cool. Yeah. I never did that because when I saw a dude sitting on the toilet, it's like, I don't know, he's probably just gonna shoot me at point blank range when I come out.
No, when you come, when you come out if you're sitting on the toilet, it just explode and it's great.
Yeah, that's cool. It's gore explosion.
There's a part in a vampire level where there's two people
on toilets.
On toilets like right near each other, and I had a silent shotgun at that point.
Oh nice.
So I would go to the toilet and I would kick in the door on one of the guys sitting on the toilet and just like and then I would get in his toilet and explode the other person, and it was just like that was how I started the level every time. Nice. And it was like it was a nice relaxing thing to do at the beginning of a level
that
I was having
sort of
trouble with.
How the game works is you find these things that work and you slowly chain them together to finish the level.
Yeah.
Game will just do random shit differently.
But like, but it was too many times, and then like where enemies were and how sound worked in the level changed.
Oh yeah,
like it was way too much. And then like all the guns are way too inaccurate for any sort of consistency.
Right,
right. Like with Hitman, and I'm gonna compare this game to Hitman because it's 2D Hitman.
Yeah,
right. Like with less options, you're just
and like guns blazing.
Yeah.
It's not stealthy like
it. Yeah, but I'm saying it's like the same sort of murder puzzle setup, right? Where you're given the tools, you're told to do it, you're given things you can do in the environment, right? But there's no really like set path or anything like that.
It's not clear in any way.
It just like there was way too many elements that were inconsistent between individual runs for it to feel that same satisfaction. Right.
Or even like feel that level of mastery.
Like, in a Hitman level, you spend a super long time, especially the new Hitman where the levels are huge.
Yeah.
You spend an enormous amount of time in those levels learning them and mastering like all their facets and like learning
and then
new
abusing
things
them
and then abusing them in weird ways. And that's like not what I was getting. This game has a really, really solid foundation.
Right.
And it's fun. I would love to see what this developer comes up with next.
Okay.
And I would love to see this developer do a more community focused thing.
Yeah.
Where they're like speaking with their community and asking them what works and shit. But like,
so note about this developer, since we talked about this earlier. They're the same ones who made Risk of Rain.
Oh, okay.
So that tells you a little bit about why this game works the way it does.
Sure. I mean, like, Risk of Rain, that's a great roguelike. This isn't a roguelike.
Right. So some of the roguelike things from Risk of Rain are like warping themselves into this game where they shouldn't be. And that's where it gets difficult.
It's like you're cooking something in a wrought iron pan, and it's not the right flavor for the next thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like weird minty freshness from Risk of Rain is getting baked into my savory.
It starts doing. Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say I really dug the aesthetic in this game.
It's fantastic.
No, like visually, the sound, like so much of the tech is really on point.
So first of all, sound. The gun sounds
are really good.
Super good. Yeah, I love them.
And like it's a pixel art game. Mm-hmm. So like it's kind of minimal, but then they do things where they put really cool environmental details in.
Yeah, well, like I like that. Look, so like you're a reaper, you're killing dudes. So the currency you collected by your guns are souls.
Yeah,
and where do you go spend souls to get upgrades? You go to Charon the Boatman.
Yep,
because he's taking those souls.
Just chilling on an dock, smoking.
Yeah, and it's like the rain-swept Sin City docks, you know?
Yeah,
it sort of had a Good Omens noir feel for me.
Yeah. And he's got, like, these blue smoking eyes. Also, you can shoot out the streetlights down at the docks.
Oh, cool.
And it gets, like, spookier, and, like, his eyes light shit up.
Yeah, like, this game has this aesthetic and this feel.
Like, the
great.
Yeah, and the world it's in is, like, kind of neat.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, the flames are all talking to each other, and, like, so
the fireplace you work for has informants that are candles.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and they like hang out on the sides of buildings.
The fireplace gets you a cat.
Okay.
It's like, oh, I noticed you're kind of alone. Like, here's a cat. And so then the cat like wanders around your house And, like, sometimes you come home... There's one instance where I came home, and the cat's sitting in the chair.
Yeah.
So I walk up to the chair, and I hit E, and I just stand there and talk to the fire instead of moving the cat. Which I thought was really great.
That's nice. A lot of good character.
So yeah, your character's, like, this really, like, bare-bones dude. Like, your guns are on a pegboard against the wall.
Because you're a skeleton.
I guess that was pun intentional. Yeah. So...
Man, fuck you for saying
And then the game sprinkles in storylines through mixtapes you find on people, and you go home and you play them. And
I got some of those. I never checked any of them out.
The old mid-2000s tapes that you gotta collect.
Yeah, so there's no audio. Yeah. It's all text still. Yeah. Sure. But it's like little vignettes about some those
fucking,
characters.
Fucking Doom 3 tape cassettes?
Yeah, so it fills in like the story about the zombies. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, if you get all of them. So there's a lot of really cool trappings in this game that I really like. The stealth aspect of hopping in vents and jumping out of toilets and exploding people.
I wish it gave you, like, more of an opportunity to screw around with the stealth elements in the game.
Like, when you knock on a door and a dude walks over to open it like an idiot and you just blow his face in go time, like, that's a rad feeling.
I love that, but here's the thing I kept fucking running into that drove me insane is that, pick up the button to interact is E, the button to pick up a gun is E, the button to open and close a door and knock is E. So if you knock on the door and the guy comes out and you shoot him in the doorway, and I have to go over and close that door quickly before the next guy comes in. No, I'm actually just swapping shotgun.
I can't tell you how many times a sledgehammer is on top of a light switch and I can't turn the lights off again to have a tactical advantage.
Like, I'm embarrassed for them.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, really? Like, this...
And you can't do the Hitman hold E and scroll through your options.
Yeah, it's 2017, and, like, this is, like, a stumbling block for the game.
Right.
Like,
so that's, like...
Fucking come on.
That's the weird thing about this game, is that, like, at its core, like we're talking about, like, its bare mechanics are cool and fun.
Yeah.
But then,
slightly,
like,
racist.
Yeah?
Yeah, the whole zombies being, like, they're wearing, like, saggy pants and...
Yeah, I mean, the zombies are gangbangers for sure, and that's... Yeah,
they're urban youth.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I don't know. Like, getting to the later parts, it feels more like you're the Punisher. You're working your way up the ladder.
Yeah,
so, like,
but it's still like
I get you. Like, there's no preppy zombie kids.
The vampires are clearly like white corporate crime because they do vampire cocaine and they have vampire nightclubs and
skeletons are like old world massive. Like,
yeah.
Like, they feel like Russian mob / Yakuza dudes. Like, they're all criminal archetypes and it's shitty.
Yeah.
The zombies end up being...
Well, and I'm just saying, like, anytime you do fantasy, it's incredibly hard not to become racist, like, immediately.
Yeah.
You know, Warcraft, the whole noble savage thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, Amerians are all orcs. Fuck you.
Yeah, so, like, there's a lot of things that are cool that are, like, kind of broken by the execution, I think.
I feel like this game would have been a lot better. It would benefit a lot more from... Warframe did this thing, and I talk about Warframe all the time. I'm a Warframe guy.
I mean, but part of the reason we come back to Warframe is their design stuff is cool.
They did this thing about 3 years in where they realized that they had completely neglected what, like, thinking about even a little bit what a new player would experience in this game. So I feel like this game was, the developers played their game, and they became good at their game.
Mm-hmm.
And they forgot that people who are going to pick up their game aren't going to be as good at their game.
Right, and because we didn't build the rules, we don't know the rules
as
well.
We don't know the rules as well. It's like how you can't really edit your own stories.
Right.
Right. You really need to get a second set of eyes on them because you're not going to see the thing you're not going to see, right? Like,
right, you're too... Like, at work, we value the newbies because they're coming in with fresh eyes and go, that doesn't make any fucking sense. And we've been over here fucking living that shit for 3 years.
Yeah, because you just live in it.
Right, like... This is my aquarium, right? Like,
can I say terroir more on this podcast?
Sure.
Yeah, so, like, I really enjoy, like, the core design concepts of the game, but it gets away from itself.
Yeah, that's kind of, I feel like the game wants you so badly to get to this point where you're only doing headshots, where you're performing at this, like, peak level.
It doesn't help you get to that level.
Nope,
it doesn't. There's no...
Yeah.
There's no point in time until I pick up an AK and realize it's super accurate over crazy range. There's no point in time where I realize, like, I can do this.
So, and this is the thing I was thinking about today, because I was having a discussion with, Galen once where he was really mad at Dark Souls because every time you lose at the boss, you have to do the boss run. Mm-hmm. Right? And I'm like, well, usually the boss run teaches you something that you need to know in order to do that boss
right.
correctly.
And you're missing the gameplay
mechanics. Which this game doesn't do. Right. When it makes you go back to the beginning, it doesn't teach you what you did wrong because you're still getting right up back to that point where you're making the same mistake. Right? Yeah. And it doesn't, along the way, teach you.
It doesn't encourage you to walk
around. The repetition just teaches you how to, like, memorize the first part of the level. It's just like, it just becomes rote memorization.
Yeah.
It's not, it
and even then,
it doesn't feel like skill building.
2 in 10 times, there's something weird that happens in your expectation.
Oh, yeah.
And that was annoying.
2 out of 10 times, a dude dies in the doorway and I can't close the door.
Yeah.
All right. So, that was Deadbolt. Yeah. Deadbolt, I would say, you know, 3 solid foundation, but it doesn't really deliver.
3 out of 100, I agree.
3 out of 100, yeah.
Wow.
No, I'm being mean.
I mean, I hesitate to give it a 2 because I did have fun at the beginning, but it just fell flat. You know what? 2. I'm giving it a 2.
We're giving it reviews.
Yeah. That's what we're doing. I mean, yeah. it's like 2 out of 5.
Right. I'm gonna give it a pass.
All right, you're gonna pass.
Yeah. I like this shit's not my jam. Okay. I don't want any more Hotline Miami likes.
Yes, in our chat today, Owen's like, no more Hotline Miami likes, and I realized like the 2 games I've picked recently are similar, and I'm like, that was totally intense.
I want to preface this also by saying that like Hotline Miami likes is not a fucking genre. That's my incredibly reductive way of being grumpy about this game.
Yeah,
and Mr. Shifty.
And you didn't like Hotline Miami, so that's totally understandable.
And I wanted to like Hotline Miami.
Yeah, it's a motherfucker. Yeah.
Hotline Miami is very aesthetically up your alley, but
I want a Hotline Miami visual novel. I'd play the shit out of that.
You know what? That would actually do well, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Because I mean,
psychedelic 80s like murder story.
I'm gonna call back to something I said in an earlier podcast. I need Mariah porn.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh boy.
That's gonna be happening more.
That's like,
Keenan, you're forgetting something.
I'm forgetting something?
You are forgetting something.
What am I forgetting?
You are forgetting something that only you could forget.
Is it time for the dumbest wrestling thing in the
world? Now it's time!
Okay, so there's a fellow in the WWE named Dolph Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
I like that name.
It is a great name. He's like if Axl Rose continued to look how Axl Rose looked in the 80s, visually.
Instead of turning into a muffin with ramen on top.
Weird carrot top dreadlocks man.
Yeah, like,
I don't like this at all anymore.
So like, blonde, wet hair, bad tights, lots of pink and desert chrome going on with this guy.
Okay, I'm into that.
His theme is like 80s butt rock yelling about how he's here to show the world. Like, his music is all about how he's amazing and he's gonna show you.
Okay.
And it's been that way for like 6 years now. And Dolph Ziggler is an incredible wrestler and never gets a chance, like, to be the guy, right? Like, he's constantly.
Like, Homestar Runner
style. He's mid card life forever.
Okay.
And the few times he's had a chance, it's just been like, I don't know, we gotta do something to make the fans excited. Wait. Perfect opportunity. We gotta make the fans excited. Give him a belt. Right? So they give him the belt for like one night.
I have trouble pumping.
Yeah.
What is going on?
McMahon voice. So like it's this kind of thing where like this dude deserves more than he gets, but there's also clearly something holding him back. Whether it's the back office not liking him or whatever. Well, his new thing as a character is that he comes out and derides the fans for liking cheesy shit. He's like, y'all are into so many dumb gimmicks, and I'm over here being an amazing wrestler, but here, I'm gonna try a dumb gimmick just to get your attention. So he's been coming out for the last 3 weeks with other wrestlers' intros.
Oh, okay.
Last week he did Ultimate Warrior, came out and shook the ropes with dumb mask on his face.
He's doing a real Shang Tsung thing.
Yeah, right? He's like, okay,
wait,
maybe this will get your attention.
Did he steal Randy Savage's soul?
Whoa. I don't want to know the process for that.
He bicycle kicked it right out of him.
So he's this really great guy.
He should come out and then yell at the fans about how wrestling's fake.
Yeah, so he kind of does that. Like, it's really weird. They've been getting real fourth wall with it lately. Okay. And he's one of the people who's like the arbiter of that. Because he's like, you're into really dumb shit. I'm going to do really dumb shit, so you're into me. Like,
okay.
So that's kind of what he's been doing.
Would you say that Dolph Ziggler is the booster gold of the WWE?
I hate how apt that is. Because he is in that he doesn't get anything.
Yeah.
He isn't in that he actually deserves more.
Okay.
Booster Gold, huh?
Yeah.
We really went there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, Booster Gold sucks.
God bless Booster Gold's soul.
Yep.
All right. Space janitor. Asshole.
All right. So now is the time where we talk about our VR experiences since the last time about our VR.
We haven't had a whole lot.
No, I mean, just the one, really.
Well, we played Gorn at your house.
Oh, we did play Gorn.
Yeah, we like party played Gorn.
Yeah.
That was a cool experience.
Well, I mean, but we were trying to get to a thing. I actually had less fun with that than you guys did because I felt a lot of pressure to get to the multiplayer, which was behind a wall of content.
Yeah, let's talk about that. That sucks.
Yeah, that sucks.
They put in a multiplayer thing where your friends can use, like, gamepads to control the combatants.
And, like, come at you.
Yeah, and come at you. But you have to have, like, beaten basically the entirety of the single player.
You basically endgame the game.
You need to complete all the content, which was a problem for me because I was resetting my progress every day as a form of exercise and just going my way back up the ladder.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you need to, in endless mode, where you start with no weapons and a rock, you need to kill 18 people. And it's, like, normal people, and then all of a sudden they send, like, one of the bosses at you at number 18.
Mm-hmm.
He got a second hit on me, and I couldn't kill him before I needed to revive. Anyway, Gorn is super good. It's the best melee combat I've ever experienced in VR. It's the best exercise I've ever experienced in VR.
The goofy things about Gorn enhance Gorn.
I gave myself a really weird bruise in Gorn by punching my desk.
Nice.
On accident.
We have brutalized the blinds in our living room with Gorn.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll do it. But Matt and I played Bridge Crew.
We played Bridge Crew.
Matt bought it.
Yeah.
We did the
Kobayashi Maru.
Yeah, we did. We barely survived. Holy shit.
Well, okay, so, but do you want to explain why we barely survived? Because I shot a thing I shouldn't have.
Well, but the captain told you to do it, so it's on him.
Yay! Military starship.
Yeah, so,
who was the captain?
We were me.
Okay.
We were commanding the Aegis. We were informed by Starfleet that there's a
Athena's shield, yep.
Yeah, there's, I believe, an incapacitated Starfleet vessel. We are ordered to rescue the crew. Go over there, beam over the crew.
Isn't the vessel we're rescuing called the Kobayashi Maru?
We weren't there yet.
Okay.
This was a different one.
Oh right, because it was earlier that we almost destroyed the ship.
Yeah, because we went into the Kobayashi Maru scenario, like, with 2% hull.
Yeah.
Because after you rescue the crew, you're ordered to scuttle the ship. And on the captain's screen, it says, make sure you're 20 kilometers away from the ship before you blow it up. Captain didn't read that. It says, tactical, light that shit up.
Which you absolutely said in the moment.
Yeah, so we, like, totally roasted our own ship.
Yeah, so it was, like, this huge explosion, and then the entire bridge was on fire, and I was like, hey, Owen, why is the bridge on fire? I was like, we got, like, 2% hull left?
But we did well.
Yeah.
We
roasted a number of birds of prey.
Yeah, we smoked so many Klingons.
It has to be done.
We ran out of torpedoes.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you were on tactical. I was doing the flying.
We ran out of torpedoes.
Is there a lot of full spread?
No, you
shoot like two at a time.
Yeah, you can't.
Oh, yeah, because it's old.
You can't give him the old Janeway punch and, like, vomit 12 torpedoes.
Have the way out of your 72 torpedoes by the end of the show.
That's such a great supercut.
For those at home, there's a great supercut of in Star Trek Voyager. At one point, they state out loud, we only have so-and-so amount of torpedoes.
Early on in the show, when they give a shit about numbers.
And we have no way of replenishing.
He says it in the same breath. And we have no way to replace them. And then it's a supercut of every time they fire torpedoes for the rest of the show.
And they do it
lot. They go into, like, a negative 112 torpedoes or something like that.
It's real good.
And it plays Ode to Joy while it's, like, popping off torpedoes.
Yeah, like, the thing about that is, like, we only have 72. And immediately, like, in the same season, she's ripping off 4 at a time. Like,
yeah.
No problem.
Well, and, like, the counter keeps going.
We got these to fire. Like, fuck it.
Well, and, like, the counter keeps going up because it's, like, we've modified a warp flare from a torpedo. So, like, it'll be, like, you're at, like, negative 20 torpedoes, but it goes plus 1 warp flare. And then it's, like, plus 2 nano-infused torpedoes.
Yeah, like,
it's real stupid.
This Voyager does some real stupid stuff.
Anyway, so we played some Bridge Crew, but we played it really late at night, and so we didn't match up with anyone.
Yeah.
So it was like the two of us jumping around between the four stations.
You took helm and captain, and I took tactical and engineering.
Yeah.
So
that sounds like hard mode.
Well, it wasn't that bad because
there's AI to like do stuff.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Like when I'm in the captain's chair, if we just need to go to a place, I can tell the helm like, just
go,
just do it, bot.
Just do it, man.
But like the captain, when you're playing normally, the only thing the captain does is that they have access to more information than anyone else. So, like, once you get into a battle, you actually don't need the captain that much.
As long as you're communicating.
Yeah, like, if when Matt was on tactical and I was driving...
When we were beaming people off of the Kobayashi Maru, I was on tactical and he was on helm because we didn't need anything else.
Yeah.
It was full power to shields and we don't need no captain. Yeah. So...
But yeah.
Strong independent ship. You'll probably, you don't need no captain.
You'll probably hear more from us about that game because we're going to try and play it some more.
I want to try and play with some real people.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing, they have the VR thing.
What other VR thing?
The thing about the ducks.
Oh, next week's game.
Yeah.
We are going to play fucking weird looking game called Duck Season. And it seems to be like a weird riff on 80s nostalgia and Duck Hunt for the NES with the zapper.
I highly encourage you to watch the Duck Season trailer.
Yeah,
it's a very good game trailer.
Yeah, it's like 12 seconds long.
Yeah, it tells you it's doing one thing, and then it tells you it's not going to be doing that, and then it doesn't tell you anything else.
Yeah.
And it really draws you in.
And it's made by the Hover Junkers people, I believe.
Oh, cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
a thing we should start paying more attention to.
I guess. I mean, I don't think anyone's playing it anymore.
No, but I'm not Hover like, Junkers, but I'm saying, like...
Oh, yeah.
We don't pay attention to developers as much as we should.
Yeah, as we should.
So, Keenan, you told us earlier that you had a game pop into your head sometime this week that will never exist.
Yeah.
That hurts you deeply.
So, I read an article today on a games media outlet talking about why Parasite Eve 1 was good.
Why what?
Parasite Eve, which is
like a survival horror top-down game on the PlayStation, right?
Kind of.
Okay.
It's
I remember people talking about PoE being really good.
It's a turn-based shooter that has a lot... Oh,
turn-based? What the fuck?
It's weird. So it does, like, real-time battle until you queue up your action.
So, like, transistor style?
Kind of, yeah. Like, you run around and avoid attacks until you're making one.
Okay.
Or healing yourself, so, or whatever.
Transistor style.
Yeah. So it's got this sort of weird sort of combat... The progression in that game is really interesting because you basically glue guns together for stats and armor as well.
Okay.
So you end up
Are you saying you play like WrestleMania Power Card
with
your guns?
Yes.
Okay, so the guns eat other guns.
As time goes on, you feed guns to other guns and the guns carry the stats over.
Do they get mad gun disease?
They only inflict my gun, that on your
my
enemies.
Gun exclusively dates blondes.
They build up prions in their bullets.
So the game has this weird sort of horror angle slash, like, environmental storytelling because mitochondria are reacting with the situation. It's a weird game because it's from Japan and it's from the 90s. And,
sure.
But it's a really cool game. And then the second one totally wasn't a similar game. It changed up the battle system.
So why was this article saying... Where is the story going?
They were writing the article being like, yo, Parasite Eve was totally dope. And I agree, and I'm sad that there aren't more games like it.
Just go play Transistor.
Yeah, it's not the same. It's got similar elements, but it's not the same.
But play Transistor and Power Card at the same time.
Yeah. just have your phone in one hand.
So I hacked the Gibson and fed 5 Roman Reigns to John Cena.
Yeah.
Okay, exactly. Sounds alright.
Sure. Alright. Alright. Dingling, it's chicken hat time.
Oh,
Owen is receiving another chicken hat point.
We
compared... how far we got, and I was just ever so barely further than
Owen.
Was
it what, you were one level ahead of him?
I think I was like one or two levels ahead of
him. Where were you? I got to the first vampire level, and you got to like the third
one. I think I'm on the third vampire level. It has been a very long time since I even booted
Deadbolt.
Yeah,
no worries.
So,
that game...
yeah.
That game tests you. I get it.
So, where can they find us, Owen?
If you want to send us thoughts, feedback, corrections, game codes, whatever.
Cool stuff.
Yeah, send it to
Kill
us.
Pop.
Yeah, send it to us at badplaystyle@gmail.com. Yeah. If you want to talk to the other listener of this podcast, you can go to reddit.com/r/badplaystyle.
Yeah.
Keenan, where can they reach you on the internet?
I am at Savory Scrimp. That's shrimp with a C instead of an H. On Twitter.
What about you, Matt? Where can they reach you?
I think I have a Twitter, but I don't know what it's called.
I think it's called Bizarro
Zar. I bet it's the same thing. You sign up everything with.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I've been back pills in it recently.
Yes, that's true.
So, yeah, but you're right.
You probably made your Twitter account way back in the day, right?
Yeah, probably. I should change that. Anyway, yeah. You can try and find me on Twitter if you're feeling lucky.
Yeah, if you want to find Matt's dead Twitter account. Yeah.
Do that. Do it.
Matt from 6 years ago.
We're playing Duck. Duck season.
Duck season.
Duck hunt.
Oh yeah, I just found your Twitter and it has your awesome blog meme attached to it.
Oh yeah, Reverse Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to go look at my dead blog.
Speaking of Matt's dead internet properties, let's look up his MySpace while we're at it.
Don't do either of those things.
I think at one point I went back and found my MySpace and like went in there and nuked it.
Oh. Like, I should do that to my LJ and my MySpace.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Oh, you know what? I bet there's companies out there that like you can hire to nuke your.
Oh yeah.
You just like erase your digital footprint.
You just type in as many old passwords as you can remember, and they just brute force your old accounts.
No, you just give them access to like your old email accounts, you know, and then they'll
I can't see how this could go wrong. I can't see how this would go wrong.
I mean, with the credit breach, you know, we're fucked anyways. Yeah. So whatever.
Well, no, because I mean, the entire world's gonna end within the next 30 years. So like, what is the point of anything? No, I said
is that optimistic, short or long term.
I said entire. Okay. I said entire.
Didn't Stanislaw Lem just die?
Yeah.
The guy who saved the whole world.
Yeah.
Without his guiding hand, we're doomed.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just saying.
Well, like, without him and Bowie, we're fucked. Like, clearly.
I mean, so the ecosphere will collapse, but it'll take, like, a little bit to, like, collapse.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
To collapse.
Yeah. Anyway, stop the recording.
Is made by my good friend Benjamin Busey. You can find his SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/basicbenji206.